You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Well, good morning, Audacious Church. That was a slightly underwhelming woo on the woo scale, so we'll try it again. Good morning, Audacious Church. Ah, you're there. So good. Well, if we've not met before, my name is Joel, and along with my wife, I'm the youth and young adults pastor here at Audacious Church. And it's my honor this morning to bring into land our series over we've done in the last couple of weeks called It's Complicated. Look at the person next to you and say, it's complicated. Now look at the other person, the other side, your second choice, and say, it's complicated. This is a series about relationships, and I don't know about you, but relationships are complicated. I find them confusing and difficult, and it's a journey, and we've been looking at 1 and 2 Samuel, and looking at characters that are not made up characters, but real people who have lived real lives and navigated the complicated reality of relationships. And like, I don't know if you've been reading 1 and 2 Samuel as we've been doing this series. It is like Lord of the Rings territory. It's like Star Wars. It's like a rom-com. It's like, it's got everything. It's drama and love and murder and adventure and so many complicated elements to relationships. And it's my honor today to bring this series into land as we look at our final character today. And his name is Nathan. Everyone say Nathan. When I say it like you love Jesus, Nathan. Now, Nathan is a friend and a mentor to King David. So we're going to look at the dynamic of their relationship together. We're going to dive into a very juicy part of Scripture and where some real serious drama is unfolding to see how they navigate the dynamic of their relationship. But before we do that, I thought it'd be good to set up and frame what is going on and who is Nathan. Nathan is a prophet. He is a prophet of the time. His voice is regarded highly in the land, not just in society to everyday people, but David himself, the king, regards Nathan's advice highly. He is a counsel to David. He is wisdom to David. And we've looked at, over this series, the north, south, east, west relationships. And in many ways, Nathan to David was a north relationship. He was a prophet. He spoke the voice of God, but also communicated wisdom and counsel. But also, he's an east and west relationship to David because he is a trusted friend and advisor. We don't know exactly how old Nathan is, but historians would tell us that he is around the same age as David, probably a little bit older, which means these two guys have grown up together. They've done life together. They've done many years of hard work and friendship, and to this point where now they're leading the nation together. King David and the prophet Nathan. With all that in mind, we stumble upon a scripture where the drama is high and Nathan enters the conversation. King David has had his infamous affair with Bathsheba. Many of you will know the story. There's been songs written about this, all sorts of stuff. This infamous affair with Bathsheba. And this affair, if you don't know, ultimately he has an affair with this woman. And he doesn't just leave it there. He has an affair with the woman and then decides to cover up the affair and kind of make a way so he can be with her longer. He has her husband murdered, killed in battle. He has blood on his hands. Not only that, as a result of the affair, Bathsheba becomes pregnant and has a child with David. I said it was dramatic. This is like rom-com drama territory. What is going on? And David has messed up. There's no doubt on that. Everything that is unfolding is David's fault. Enter Nathan, a trusted advisor, but not just that, a friend to David. And we're going to read this scripture, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this. 2 Samuel 12, 1 to 7, and we jump down to 13 at the end. It says this, the Lord sent Nathan to David. Everyone say sent. Come on, with a bit of conviction. Sent. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew it up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against this man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "You are that man." Talk about dropping a bombshell. He has set up this elaborate story to tell David, "You are that man with what you have done to Bathsheba, her family." Jump down to verse 13. It says, "Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' Nathan replied, 'The Lord has taken away your sin and you're not going to die.'" The title of my message, write this big and bold in your notes, is "Tell Me What You Really Think." Tell me what you really think. You can bow your heads. Let's pray. Father God, I pray would you speak to every person from the oldest to the youngest, from the front to the back, left to right. Would you speak right now? Not my words, but your words. God, we silence the busyness of life, the chaos of life, the drama of relationships, and we focus into what you have to say about relationships right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So good. Hey, the band, give me a good up for the band. You guys are done. They'll be coming back to join us in a bit. I don't know if you have relationships in your life where you've been in a scenario where someone has been brutally honest. Do you know what I mean? Like the honesty level, it's like it hits a little bit as they say it. Like it's high level honesty. Maybe it's to do with an outfit you wore. You thought you looked great. You thought it was like creative. And it's like, look at me. I'm looking like this is trendy. And someone's gone, "Hey, I love you dearly, but it's not the look. Let's not try this." Maybe you get a haircut. And you think you look real good. And then someone goes, "Okay, like bleach blonde hair, cool, kind of coming across midlife crisis-y, like maybe let's leave it, okay? Let's not go for that. Maybe it's a haircut, you try a new style and you thought this is what everyone's doing and everyone's like, yeah, but you're 50, don't have a mullet. Like, let's leave it to the young people." Maybe it's a meal that you've cooked, you know what I mean? Like you cook a meal and you're like, this is, like, come on, Gordon Ramsay would love this. And someone sits down and be like, "I know you've made this meal four or five times for me, but I'm asking you not to do it again because it's rank. Please stop." Maybe it's your ability to sing or a talent that you think you're really talented at. I mean, people need to talk to people on X Factor. You know what I'm saying? Britain's Got Talent. Like those days where you're like, why didn't no one say to this person, "You can't sing"? Like God loves it when you worship, but it's out of tune for us. So like, I don't want to hear it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's, for me, I'm going to put some photos on screen, and this is a moment of honesty. Like, come on now. And there's three different photos that are about to come up. There they are. Wowzers, look at this guy. Look at this guy. What's he got cooking? Look at this. Okay, so the guy on the left, I mean, I don't know. It's like mushroom on my head. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what is the shape of that? I thought that was good. You know, the emo days were in, and I listened to My Chemical Romance, and it was like awesome. And I just refused to get my hair cut. And then one day, it was actually my sister Hannah was like, "Hey, I love you dearly, but you look like you've got a mushroom on your head. Get a haircut." And I'm glad she did because, I mean, she could have said it earlier because she could have said that. The middle one, I mean, I'm looking good. Red frogs, if you do red frogs, it's great. I did it when I was a teenager. And those jeans are very tight. They are what we used to call spray-on skinny jeans. And you got them from Top Man, RIP Top Man. And it's a look. I don't know if it's a good look. And people told me for many years, "Stop wearing skinny jeans, Joel." And I was like, "No, I look good." And then I look at photos like that. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me for wearing that in Jesus' name. And the one on the right, like, I just kind of like the photo. That happened at Audacious Conference when I was a teenager in this very building. And I used to do this thing, you can see my shoes. I didn't used to wear shoelaces in my shoes because I thought it looked cool. It's actually very impractical because they fell off a lot. But I thought I looked good. And someone just one day said, seriously, I think it was Hannah again. She's very honest in my life, my sister. She was like, just put some shoelaces in your shoes, stop wearing the weird jeans and dress normally. Brutally honest. You know, we all crave real connection. We crave real relationship. This whole series, we've ultimately come to understand, we want memory-making relationships of joy and love. Take the photos down because no one's listening to me. I'm just like, people are like phones out, like, look at this. Thank you. We crave these memory-making relationships and real relationships, and we want all the good stuff that comes from it. But the truth is, we're scared of confrontation. We all want closeness, but we hate the idea of confrontation. We live in a culture that avoids accountability. It's a big shift. I don't know if you've realized that over these last few years, that accountability has kind of disappeared from culture. And actually, we've got to a point where independence is praised and correction is often seen as judgment. If you correct someone, you're like, whoa, 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 yeah, but it's my truth, it's my thing, don't judge me. And you can't actually correct and bring someone to account anymore in the culture we live in. But God never designed for us to grow alone. He never designed for us to stay stuck in blind spots. He never designed for us to stay stuck where we are. He actually designed us to do relationship together. Real growth happens in real relationships. And real relationships requires real honesty. Let's say that again because it's better than the response. Real growth happens in real relationships. If you want to grow, not stay stuck where you are, not stay stuck where you are as a teenager and then get to 30 and you're like, I feel exactly the same as I did when I was 18. Like, I've not grown. If you want to grow, you need a real relationship. But the only way you get real relationships is through real honesty and real accountability. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the arrogant fool who rejects wisdom is right in his own eyes, but a wise and prudent man is he who listens to counsel. If we're going to grow in wisdom, learn from our mistakes, and develop deep, meaningful connections, we're all going to need Nathans in our lives. We are all going to need Nathan relationships in our lives. I'm not talking about finding someone called Nathan and making them your best friend, though if it works for you, go for it. But I'm talking about the spirit that Nathan carried into his relationship with David. If we're going to grow, we need a Nathan who is willing to call us out in the midst of our mess and chaos. But also, let me flip it and say, if we want our friends to grow, if we want our relationships to grow, if we want our church community to grow, we also need to start playing the role of Nathan to those that God has placed in our lives. We all need a Nathan, but I would say we all need to get to a point where we can be a Nathan as well. Let me clarify, I'm not talking about firing truth shots left, right, and center and just speaking your mind to anyone you see. That is not a Nathan relationship. Like, you need some emotional intelligence. Be like, I've known you for 1 minute. I hate your haircut. It's awful. Like, get a new one. Like, you can't just go up to people and be like, that's it. This is the truth. Sorry, but it's true. Like, okay, sure. But like, that's not what a Nathan relationship is. A Nathan relationship is forged in the fire of time. It's forged in the fire of proximity. It's forged in the fire of vulnerability. You cannot just go, right, that's a Nathan, job done. I'm going to tell you what I really think about you. You have to forge it. So I'm not saying walk up to people at the bus stop you've just met and tell them what you think about them. But as Matthew 18 tells us, we need to be Nathans to those we're on the journey with. Matthew 18:15 says this, if your brother or sister sins, go and show him his fault in private. That's a good way of doing it. Don't do it publicly on Instagram and call people out for what they've done to you. Actually have a real conversation. Don't do it over text. Don't do it in a DM. Don't even do it on a phone call. Actually have a grown-up, human, interaction where you go, hey, I need to talk to you about something because you've given me the permission to say what I really think. Show him his fault in private. If he listens and pays attention, you have just won back your brother. The reality is Nathan just didn't appear in David's life. We've already established that. They grew up together, similar age. Their past had been weaving together for many years. Many years of together, of being teenagers in their 20s and this time, forging a relationship. David had seen firsthand why he needed a Nathan. Because Saul, King Saul, we've learned about him over this series, actually had a Nathan relationship. He was called Samuel. Samuel was wise counsel. And not just wise counsel, they'd done so much life together. They definitely become a level of friendship between Saul and Samuel where they did life and they saw each other and they invested in each other. But Saul got to a point where he said, I don't want to know what you think anymore. I'm doing it on my own. And David had seen firsthand the danger of doing that. Because when you get rid of your Nathan, you enter self-destruct mode. When you get rid of wise counsel and trusted voices that speak into your life, you're setting yourself up for self-destruction, to live in your mess, not live with accountability, and not growing. So Nathan, David knew why he needed Nathan. It's why he'd forged it over time. So today I want to give you three things we can learn from a Nathan relationship and apply to our lives. Three things we can learn from this dynamic between Nathan and David, take and apply into our relationships today in Audacious Church. Does that sound good? Oh, come on, does that sound good? Okay, write this down for me. The first one is this: a Nathan relationship requires moments of insane courage. A Nathan relationship requires moments of insane courage. Nathan walks in to a palace to confront a king who is already murdered to hide his mess. I mean, that's not just friendship and obedience. That is extreme courage because he was risking it. Like, who knows what David was gonna do? He knows what's happened. He knows that he's killed someone. He knows that he can cover up a mess pretty well as being the king. He is risking his reputation. He's risking his friendship with David. He's risking his own life. And he walks into the palace because he's committed to his relationship with David. He knows his role. He knows the role that David needs him to play in his life. Whether David likes it or not, he knows that he needs Nathan, and Nathan knows that he needs to play the role that God has called him to play in David's life. It takes moments of insane courage to walk across the room. We don't know exactly how long had passed between Nathan arriving and David's affair and all that, but we know, based on a few different things that have happened, it's months. This isn't like the next day Nathan turns up. It's months. Don't you find it interesting that no one had called David out for what he had done? Not that we know of. I reckon it'd be in the book if someone had tried to go like, okay, so I'm going to be bold and courageous. Like, David was living in his mess and no one had called him out. And Nathan knew if he didn't, no one would. If he didn't play the role that David needed him to be, no one was gonna do it because that was the role David needed Nathan to be and God needed Nathan to be for David. So he plucks up the courage, he walks into the palace and he confronts his friend of many years, the king of the land, and he tells him what he needs to say, what he really thinks about the situation. Nathan was so committed to David, he was willing to risk everything for him. Proverbs 27, 5 to 6, better is an open reprimand of loving correction than one that is hidden. Faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern. You are called to correct lovingly, but boldly, speaking the truth about situations. His courage was fueled by his love for a friend, but also his commission from God. The Lord sent him. He knew that he didn't walk into that situation off his own back. He walked empowered by God. His courage was not his own. His courage was that of the mandate that he carried into his life. You need to carry the same courage into your relationships that Nathan did. Empowered not by your own ability, your own thoughts, but empowered by God, who will give you the courage at the right time to walk into the room and go, I need to tell you what I really think about this. We all need a Nathan. We all need to be a Nathan. You may never be sent to confront a king, but I'm convinced you'll be sent to confront a friend. You might not have to go see a king, but I am convinced that God will call you to lovingly go with courage and confront a friend that you have forged time with over years of investment and say, hey, I love you, but we need a conversation about this. That's a Nathan relationship in action. We all need a Nathan. We all need to be a Nathan. The second thing about a Nathan relationship, everyone say number two. Come on, everyone say number two. Nathan relationship leads with grace and then truth. A Nathan relationship leads with grace and then truth. Nathan did not walk into the palace, barge open the doors and go, oi, David, you sinned, you're done. He didn't. He didn't walk in and go, oi, I'm telling you what you've done wrong. He didn't walk in and go, oi, you're cancelled. Just so you know, the mess up's too big this time. There's no way back. You are finished. He didn't do that. He walked in because he knew the power of grace. And he actually started to tell a story. Do you know what he was doing that moment? He was softening David. He was building a bit of relationship again with David. They hadn't seen each other for a while. Nathan had been away. And instead of just coming in with the truth, he thought, hey, I need to lead with grace in this moment. I need to lead with grace. Nathan understood the power of grace. He didn't cancel him. He counseled him. We need to stop canceling people when they mess up and start counseling people when they've messed up. I'm not saying we excuse sin and wrongdoing, but my gosh, the Bible I read never cancels. The Bible I read again and again and again and again and again and again and again leads with grace. Can I just say, canceling is not of the kingdom of God. Canceling is not right. Canceling is not what we do. We lead with grace. Every person in the Bible messed up. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Aren't you thankful for grace in your life? Aren't you thankful when people have given you grace rather than canceling you? Aren't you thankful when people have counseled you rather than saying it's done, it's finished, you ain't doing this anymore? You've got to lead with grace and then truth. Ephesians 4:15, if we speak the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Jesus himself came in grace and truth. I find that very interesting. That he didn't just come with the law and truth and judgment and condemnation. I also find it interesting that it was not truth and grace. Grace first, truth second. John 1:17, read it for yourself. Jesus himself came in grace and truth. Let me give you an analogy to understand this. Pastor Andy Smith actually shared with this many years ago, and I use it all the time, and I always will credit you for it because it's very good. I don't know who you nicked it from, but I'll credit you for it. ChatGPT. Grace is like anesthetic. Truth is like the surgeon's scalpel. When you go in to perform surgery, you've got to have anesthetic first. You do not perform heart surgery. And when you are sharing truth, it is heart surgery. It's not a mild little like, oh, it's just a scrap. This is heart surgery, open heart surgery. It's vulnerable, it's painful, it's real. And if you just lead with grace, 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 and never get to the truth, you are just creating a drug addict who is reliant on grace, 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 grace. And here's what that does. Anesthetic makes you numb. It makes you numb to the things of the world. So you don't even start to realize you're in pain. You don't start to realize what's going on in your life because it's grace, 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 grace. You're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And that's what society is doing right now. Don't worry about what, don't worry. Just it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. It's gonna be fine. But you've got to acknowledge first that there needs to be some accountability. It's gonna be okay, don't worry. But we've gotta get to the truth. But also, if you just lead with truth, you are performing heart surgery with no antidote, with no painkiller, with no anesthetic. And that causes more pain, more damage, far more long-lasting damage. And I'm sorry if you have been in a relationship in this church or a church where people have just led with truth. Truth, 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 truth. And your heart hurts because it's a stab every time. And they're trying to help, but they didn't lead with grace first. Grace makes a way for the truth. Grace makes a way for the truth. Imagine if Nathan had stormed in and just gone with the truth. Imagine what that would have done to David's relationship with him, his legacy, his kingdom. I don't think David would have actually repented. I think he would have just pushed him out and gone, who are you to say that to me? He gets defensive and that. His legacy would have been ruined. Imagine what that would have done to his relationship with God. Imagine what that had done with his relationship with his friends and family. But Nathan made a choice. I'm gonna lead with grace and then bring truth. We need to learn to lead with grace. What would it look like if you led with grace in every conversation you went into? What would it look like if you led with grace with every relationship you have? Whether it's a good relationship, bad relationship, what would it look like if you made a choice to lead with grace and then bring the truth? We all need a Nathan. We all need to be a Nathan. The third point is this, the band can join me. A Nathan relationship uses accountability for growth, not shame, and leads people to restoration. That last bit won't be on the slide because I've added that in because I feel like it's a real specific word today for someone in the room. Uses accountability for growth, not shame, and leads people to restoration. When Nathan finally revealed the truth, David didn't deny it. Didn't even argue. Because he paved a way. He'd been courageous. Step one, right, let's go, it's go time. It's gonna be difficult, it's gonna be awkward, I don't really want to. God needs me to do this, and David needs me to do it, and I'm committed to my friend, I'm committed to this guy, so I'm gonna do it. And he walks in, and then he leads with grace, and then he tells the truth, and it leads to a place where David is now saying, what have I done? What have I done? The truth has become real to him. But this is the important bit. Here's the key. Nathan didn't leave David in shame. Nathan did not leave David in shame because he proclaimed the truth of God. The Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. In other words, it's not over. It's not over. Yes, you're a Muppet. Yes, you've hurt many people. Yes, you've made a mistake. But David, the plan is still on. The plan is still on. You're not staying in shame. And Nathan refuses to leave David in a place of shame because David could have spiraled, but he went, come on, I'm dragging you out of the shame spiral. You ain't staying here because there's a plan for your life. There's a purpose for your life. And yes, you've made a mistake, but in my book, we don't cancel. So you better believe right now dragging you out of the shame spiral. He refused to leave him in shame. Accountability isn't about shaming or tearing down. It's about pointing people to growth and freedom. It's pointing people to God's love and forgiveness. Nathan's words led David to repentance, which opened the door for restoration, not condemnation. Galatians 6, 1 to 2, it's not going to come on screen because I've added it. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, big sin, whatever that means, small sin, sin is sin. If anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual, that is you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's for you, this verse. Are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you don't become tempted as well. Carry one another's burdens. And in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law, Christ's law, that is the law of Christian love. He makes a way for David to repent, and he makes a way for David to be restored. Psalm 51 is the psalm that David writes just after this account. We don't know when, but I would guess based on how raw it is, it's pretty close to when this happened, because this is a raw psalm. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That's how accountability works. That is accountability in a verse. When you take all the picture of it, you can read that and not know any context, but when you understand what's happened, when you understand what David has just been through, when you understand the journey that Nathan has taken him on, suddenly that verse makes a whole lot more sense. Because Nathan's like, don't stay in the shame spiral. Go to God and ask for help. Ask for him to give you joy again. Can I just say, some of you have been caught in a shame spiral for so long that you've lost joy. And I believe today God is going to restore joy. He's going to restore joy. I believe today people have been stuck in condemnation. Stuck in it. Maybe because someone's just led with truth and you've not been shown a way out. Maybe because someone said you have to be sorry, you have to be shameful about this. And I'm sorry if that's happened. But that's not what my book says. That's not what the book says. It says that there's hope, that there's joy, that he's a restorer, that he's a savior, that he's the Prince of Peace, that he'll take you out of the mud and lift you out. Yes, you made a mistake, but there is a chance for you. There's hope for you. He can do it for every person in the pages of the book. He can do it for you. I believe God wants to create a community in our church that helps each other grow and refuses to leave each of us sitting in shame. I believe we're going to create a community where we're so committed to each other, so committed to the love of God, so committed to grace that we refuse to leave people sitting in shame any longer. Yes, you need to get out of it. Yes, you need the truth. You need a Nathan who will say what he really thinks. So I wonder today who you would say your Nathan is. I wonder who you have actually given the permission in your life to say, tell me what you really think. It's not going to be someone you met a minute ago. It's not even going to be someone you met this year. It takes time. It takes time to forge this thing. But you've got to put the time in. Nathans aren't going to appear. You have got to be committed to building a Nathan relationship with someone in your life. You've got to be committed to being open to their correction. You've got to be committed and open when they say, hey, I love you, bro, but let me just tell you what I really think about what's going on right now. Imagine what our church would look like and our city would look like if we committed to having Nathans. Committed to letting people in, to correcting us, not to live in shame, but to be restored and redeemed. Some people in the room, you know who your Nathan is. You got him. You're locked in. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so thankful for every Nathan I've got in my life. And I don't give the Nathan thing out like that to everyone. I got three or four people and I've given them the permission. And I'm so thankful that they've been committed enough to me to walk in with courage, lead with grace, tell me the truth, and then drag me out of shame. You need that in your life as well. For a lot of people in the room, you don't have a Nathan. Maybe because someone's hurt you. I get it. Maybe you tried to be open with someone and they hurt you and you're living in that pain. Well, I believe today there's freedom from the pain of past relationships. That God's gonna heal broken hearts and heal wounds that have been opened by people who you trusted and didn't actually play the role of Nathan. And I believe today God is gonna give you the courage to go again, ask again for a Nathan in your life. I believe God is gonna reveal Nathans to people today that have been in your life for a long time and you're gonna go, God's placed them there. It's gonna take courage to go up to them and go, hey, I think you're my Nathan. Could you speak into my life? Could you tell me what you really think? Change your life forever. Stand to your feet for me. There's other people in the room. And when you've got a Nathan relationship and you've done time and journeyed a Nathan relationship, it then starts to empower you to become a Nathan relationship to others. You cannot be a Nathan to someone if you don't have a Nathan yourself. So don't go be a prophet to the nations off the back of this if you ain't accountable in a small group and are being discipled by someone and someone speaking into your life. Because you can't be a Nathan unless you've got a Nathan. But some of you have a Nathan and you've done it for a long time and you're really happy with that relationship, but God is calling you to be bold and be a Nathan to others. Some of you in this room need to become small group leaders. You need to, because we've got thousands of people and we haven't got thousands of small group leaders. And I believe people are gonna get called today to be small group leaders, to play that role of Nathan to people in our church. Some of you need to become team leaders and play that role of Nathan through the teams that you're gonna lead in our church. You're gonna receive a mandate, a calling of God to be a Nathan. He's gonna reveal people who you need to be Nathans for. So, there's a few different people who are gonna respond in this moment. I'm gonna bring you to the front. We've got time tonight for response. I encourage you to come back. We're gonna talk about vulnerability. It's gonna be a panel talking about that. I mean, you wanna be a Nathan or need to be, you gotta learn the power of vulnerability. So come back tonight because we're gonna have time to respond. But I wanna pray for you. If you've been hurt and you need healing from past relationships, this is for you. If you're here and you're like, I'd love a Nathan, but I don't know who it is, I believe God's gonna reveal who it is in your life. It might take a bit of time to build that relationship, but I believe he's gonna reveal it. And the third person that's gonna respond is if you're like, I've got a Nathan, I've journeyed with a Nathan, it's time for me to step up, stop just receiving and start investing and be a Nathan. If that's you, any three of them, might be one person. I reckon it's probably more. Be courageous. 3, 2, 1, lift your hand right now. Who am I about to pray for in this moment? Yep, hands all over the room. Come on, who else? Come on, who else needs a Nathan in their lives? We need to become a Nathan to someone. Come on, church, don't be timid in this moment. I want to pray for you because I believe God's going to speak to you. Who else am I about to pray for in this moment? Yep, hands all over the room. Who else am I about to pray for? Someone needs healing. Your heart's broken. And you're like, I ain't putting my hand up. Because what if it doesn't? What if it does? I believe God's going to heal hearts right now. He's going to heal hearts right now. He's going to redeem your heart right now that's been broken by past relationships and friendships that have gone wrong. Who's that I'm about to pray for in this moment? Lift your hand. Yeah, yeah. Who else? Yeah, yeah. Who else about to pray for? Your heart's broken. You don't want to let a Nathan in. God's going to heal your heart and make a way for a Nathan to come into your life. Who else? Yeah, beautiful. Who else needs to be a Nathan? God's stirring your heart right now and you're like, don't want to do it, don't want to do it, don't want to do it. Risk it yourself when you say no to God. Yeah, hands going up. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, to help everyone out, front to back, left to right, lift your hands, every single person. Come on, help these people out. Father God, right now, God, I pray for those that need healing in their hearts, healing in their lives, from past relationships where they've put their trust in someone and it's gone wrong. They've been betrayed, they've been hurt. Right now, healing in the name of Jesus. Restore in the name of Jesus. Right now, take away words that have been spoken over people. Take away memories from people of past relationships that have left them hurting. God, right now, redeem them, restore them, and show them that they can have a Nathan relationship once again in their life. God, speak to them right now about who that person is, who they can put their trust in. Father God, for those who are just, they're all in for it, but they don't know who to ask. God, right now, would you put names into their heads of who their Nathan could be, who their Nathan could be to them. Open eyes to see who you've placed in their lives, who have been there for many, many years, and it's you placing them in their lives, God. Finally, God, I pray for those that are called to be Nathans to others. God, would a generation and a church rise up of small group leaders and team leaders who are so committed to discipling and raising up people in our church that they say, yes, God, here I am, send me. I will be a Nathan to a small group or a team or a group of people in our church. Right now, Father, reveal to people who they can be a Nathan to. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.